Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artists. This is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen in Las Vegas, along with my co-host Mike Reynolds in D.C. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing okay today, Terry. The sun is out and it's a nice day, so I'm heading out here and enjoy it after we get off the air. It's a nice day.
All right, now. Well, now our guest has not called in. We're scheduled to talk to saxophonist Carl Stanley. He is in the UK, and he has not called in yet. So, Mike, let's talk about what's coming up for us, and then if he has not called in, I'll go ahead and play his song. He has a new single out called You Make Me La La. So we will go ahead and play that, and hopefully he'll call in before then, by then, and we can go ahead with the interview. So first of all, let's mention our upcoming jazz series. We have, We have Arshira Jr. and David P. Stevens coming up on May 14th in the Laurel, Maryland area, in Mike's area.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to that. And then we also have Tony Exum Jr. is going to be performing in June at Blues Alley. I'm excited about that for him.
It's going to be really hot. It's going to be really hot. Both those shows are going to be hot. I talked to David P. Stevens this morning, and he was like, look, he said he's seen the vlog. He said, I think everybody's seen that vlog. But he's seen the vlog, and he said, Mike, I'm ready to bring it. You know, he said, I'm going to bring it. He said, man, it's time to get this thing on. You know, because like I said, all these independent artists, they're ready to kind of show their stuff, and it's time for them to get their shine. So I made a post earlier on Facebook about, you know, it's officially festival season now. I said, that's the good news. I said, but the bad news is it's going to feel like Groundhog Day every day.
And, wow.
You know, so, yeah, definitely. So we need to try to implement some new guys, and like we need the fans to come out and support. You know, a lot of you guys sitting back and email me and complain and gripe about this and that. You try to send same old. But you know, it's up to you guys to support these new artists when you see them in your town. I know that a lot of us don't really know a lot of these guys, and maybe these guys are sad men with some major artists, but these guys have great products. Great music out there as well. You know, and we have to support this music if we want it to grow because, I mean, I thought about it yesterday. Like, you know, we watch all of the other genres introduce their artists, like Justin Bieber. He's, what, 2 years in? And he's, like, you know, he's everywhere. You know, but you don't see, like, Usher and all these other older cats get mad because he's getting all this shine and getting all this hype and everything. They just accept it and just, you know, they got their fans as well. So the jazz genre, we need to introduce these new cats to the audience. And the fans, you guys have to be receptive of what we're trying to give you, definitely.
Exactly. And we are trying to bring in, Mike and I have been talking about other artists that we would like to add to the jazz series as well, because we've interviewed so many great artists in this last 2.5 years, and we are, you know, putting our heads together and talking about who we would like to add to the series. So, but we need your support. We need your support to come out, buy the tickets, and support the artists, come see them perform, and that way we can continue to bring you, you know, more great shows. That
yes.
Way. So,
and please buy the tickets in advance as well because, you know, I got to say this, Terry. We wait to the last minute to buy tickets at the door. We wait to the last week of the show. But a lot of times, you know, these promoters, they want to see advanced ticket sales. so that they can kind of gauge where they're at as far as, you know, money and as far as, you know, the guy's drawing power, because there's nothing like going to a venue and you find out it's empty and the guy actually had a good show, or there's nothing like, you know, finding out that a show was canceled that you would have gone to see, but you didn't buy an advance ticket yet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's all try to get that up and buy some advance tickets, you know, to all the shows that you want to definitely go and see, because that helps out a lot as well.
Right. All right, I just got a message from Carl. He'll be calling in momentarily. While I wait for him to call in, I want to mention that last week we received concert tickets for the Brian Culberson and David Benoit concert that was held this past Wednesday on March 23rd. And I received an email from the lady, from Tara, and she gave us 15 tickets to give away. And I gave away those tickets, and I got some great feedback from those that attended the concert. They said it was great. It was on a Wednesday night. Had it not been on a Wednesday night, I would have been there as well. But I asked Barb Susan, who was one of the recipients of the tickets, to call in and give us her to talk about, you know, the concert. So she's going to be calling in later on as well, and then so we can hear about, you know, what she thought of the concert and everything. I so wish I could have been there. I so wish I could have been there.
Yeah.
Man,
that was
to see David Brian, Brian on stage doing the piano thing, oh, I wish I could have been there for that.
That was
Man.
And speaking of Brian, you know, Brian just released a new video to one of his songs and everything. That was a hot video as well. Like I said, you know, we talk about this all the time. So, you know, Brian Culberson is setting the standard for how to market yourself in this new age. Like I said, a lot of cats still don't get it. They're still living by the old rules, and Brian Culberson is just killing it, you know, with tweets, Facebook posts, videos on Facebook, vlogs, everything. You know, a lot of artists are still not up to par on the first thing to do with marketing themselves to their fans and to the public. So, I mean, I give him kudos for doing everything that he's been doing with the social media aspect of getting his stuff to stay relevant. So definitely. He's doing it.
I agree. I was looking at it again today, and I tried to post it on the website, but
right.
I tried to post the video on the website, but I think it's too big, so it wouldn't
sorry.
Post.
I got to
yeah.
ask you this. Sorry. You said you looked at it
yes.
again today?
Yes, I did.
So how many times have you looked at this video, Terry? How many times?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 100 times or so. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. I believe you, too.
I love that man.
I believe you. Yes.
Oh, I love him. Okay, Carl is trying to call me on Skype, but he's using my Skype name, so I'm going to have to answer this, but I'm going to go ahead and play his song while I do that, and then I'll get back in touch with him. So this is his new single, You Make Me La La.
Thank you.
right. You Make Me La La. That is from Carl Stanley. In the he is on the phone now with us. Carl, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, Carl. Hi. Let me apologize to you because I believe I got confused on the time. I forgot that the time changed in Europe. So I think you're an hour.
We go forward later on, yeah.
Yes, and that's my fault. I apologize for that. I told you 8:55 when really it should have been 7:55, but I forgot about the time change there. So my apologies to you for that.
My fault.
But we just listened to his new single, You Make Me La La. We're talking to saxophonist Carl Stanley. He is calling in from the UK. Very nice song, Mr. Stanley. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
So tell us about this music. Dwight Seals is on guitar, so tell us about this.
This song is part of an album that I started last summer, but unfortunately, eight songs from the album were lost.
Oh.
This is one of two I've left from that project I started.
Wow, what happened to the other eight songs?
I was doing a gig in London with Jeff Lorber last summer, and my car, I hastily was on my way to soundcheck and left my Mac computer in the boot of my car. I think you call it the trunk over there.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody broke into my car and basically took it. And I was in the process of backing all the songs up when I got the call for Jeff Lorber, and I basically dropped everything to start rehearsing his material. So.
Oh my gosh! So now you have to start all over again.
Yeah, I still have some of the files left. I've got a lot of Dwight's guitar parts, which he so kindly sent to me again over a period of time. So yeah, it's back to the drawing board. But yeah, it's working out okay.
Oh well, good to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. So now, when do you anticipate the album being released?
I'm looking for September this year, all being well. I'm probably going to release a second single between now and then just to keep people interested. People get people forget you if you don't keep them reminded of what you're doing. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, I read, too, that the song was mixed by Ollie Silk.
Yes, Ollie Silk. You've heard of Ollie Silk, obviously. I played on an album, his last album, actually. I played on a song called Ahead of the Weather. And that was our first association. I'd heard of him previously, but we'd never met or worked together. So, yeah, I thought I'd call him and ask him if he'd, mix the track for me, basically. And he agreed, yeah.
Cool. Well, so now,
Sorry, he's not actually playing on the song. He did some additional percussion programming, actually. So, yeah, he's got a little bit of an artistic impression on the track.
Yes, Ollie Silk is a very talented keyboardist, and we love him here in the States.
Yeah, he's great.
So, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I performed with him in London last year, actually. I think it was December. We did a few days there, so yeah, it was a good gig. Great.
Wow, that's cool. Right. Now, I was going to say that the track that we heard, that was a very nice track, and especially for someone who started with music kind of late in his late teens. You started when you were 16, I think?
Yeah, I'm pretty late to the music. I've been listening for a long time prior to that. But I don't know if you read my bio, but basically a guy called Najee, I'm sure you've heard of Najee. He was kind of an influence in terms of my saxophone playing. I heard a piece of music by him from his first album called Bet You Don't Know, which sort of, I was amazed at what I was hearing, so I decided to pursue it from there. But yeah, very late indeed.
And you are self-taught as well, so there's no formal training?
No. Listening, yeah, playing by ear, as they say, yeah.
And what about reading music?
I'm not a great reader, to be fair. With the Jeff Lorber gig, I mean, I was sent the charts, and I basically had the charts and listened to the music very carefully and made sure I got all the parts right. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of reading, I'm not a great reader, but, you know, I can see what's in front of me and work it out over a period of time. But, you know, a lot of these guys can go in and sight read, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of the it's quite interesting the way this track came about, actually. The melody actually came to me in a dream. The melody for the chorus actually came to me in a dream. I was playing, in this dream, I was actually playing it on tenor saxophone. And I tried it in my studio, and I thought it worked better on soprano. So that's the way it ended up, really. You know, so, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Now, you've also worked with David Sanborn, Gerald Albright, and Walter Beasley. Tell us about how you met
with them. Oh, no. I've not worked. I haven't worked with them. I was heavily influenced by them in my sort of ear training as I was coming up, if you like. I mean, these are the guys, you know, obviously I started on alto saxophone. And I was given a tape by Grover Washington Jr. I was given a tape of Grover Washington Jr. by somebody. I can't remember who that was now. And basically, you know, as time went on, I learned of these different artists. So David Sanborn then came into my, was brought to my attention. Then guys like Walter Beasley, because it was around that time, you know, like the 90s, early 90s, I was sort of starting to get into it more. You know, David Sanborn's close-up album. That was like 88, actually. Walter Beasley, I can't remember which album. You know, Gerald Albright, Bermuda Nights, that sort of thing, you know?
Yes.
The really early stuff, yeah.
No,
yeah,
you didn't have... Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're the sort of things I sort of trained my ears to before I came across a guy called Kurt Whalum, which totally changed my whole playing, not style, but the my approach to melodies. And I actually changed to the tenor at that point.
Mm. Okay. No, but no, you actually sat in with the jazz icon Roy Ayers.
And
then he had you for 3 years, so you toured with Roy for 3 years in the UK and Europe. How did that come out?
Yeah. Well, that was quite strange, actually. Sometimes I get these, I don't know what they are, they're just sort of. Basically, I knew he was playing in the city where I live. A place called Derby, which is like 2 hours away from London. He was playing at a venue called The Warehouse in the city centre. And I, for some reason, I walked into the city centre and I could hear them sound checking as I walked past. So I walked up to the back of the stage door, and Dennis Davis recognised me from sitting with them the year before. They came the year before that, and I actually supported them. So my band performed a few songs before they went on. And he says, oh, man, Roy's looking for a horn player. Call him at the hotel. So I basically, I called him at the hotel, which wasn't too far away. Well, I just went to the hotel lobby and called him. And he said, yeah, come in and sit in on a track later on. Went in and did that. And he basically gave me a call maybe a week later and asked me to play at Ronnie Scott's for a 3-week residency. And that sort of was the start of the 3-year relationship, really.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to your changing your saxophones once you heard Kirk Whalum. What was it about the tenor sax that made you want to change from the alto sax?
I wouldn't say it was the tenor sax. I think it was just the way he played. I listened to a lot of players, obviously other players, you know, tenor saxophonists, while I was training my ear. But there was just, I think a lot of people think the same about Kirk's playing. You know, he's got this, there's something you can't quite put your finger on in terms of what he's doing. But the feeling that comes across in his playing is kind of, you know, it really captures you as a player, you know, not just as a musician. I think, you know, obviously through his fan base, not everybody's a musician, but yeah, he's just got this thing which I can't explain. And as soon as I heard it, I first heard him on a Bobby Lyle album, actually. I think it was called Ivory Coast. What was it?
Okay.
Like 89, one of Bobby Lyle's albums. And that was my first exposure to him, really. And I just decided to change horns, really, from then. And made tenor saxophone my main horn.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, do you play any other instruments?
Yeah, I play keyboards. And I've had a couple of roles as musical director, so I'm a keyboard programmer, sort of. And I play a lot of the instruments on my album. I did all the programming on the You Make Me Lola single also. Play a little bit of flute, not too much of that. But so it's basically horns and keyboards, really, and a little bit of backing vocals, which are also on the single.
Okay. All right. Now, you've played, you got Dwight Seals on this song, You Make Me La La.
Yep.
Who else would you like to work with here in the States?
Who else? Wow. If budget was no issue, I would be here all day, to be honest with you, listing names. I mean, in terms of drummers, I'll start with drummers, I suppose, because that's the backbone. Guys like Little John, Teddy Campbell, and then you got some of the old school guys like Sonny Emery and, you know, Harvey Mason. Bass players, Marcus Miller, Alex Al, so many. Mike Manson, keyboard players, obviously people like George Duke I'd like to work with. There's so many. I listen to a lot of gospel as well. There's a gospel producer called Kevin Bond. I don't know if you've heard of him. I'm sure you must have done at some point. But he's a great keyboard player. But that's away from that sort of jazz, smooth jazz, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, Paul Jackson Jr. But I mean, Dwight Seals, I've been listening to Dwight Seals for years, and he is by far my favorite guitar player. And I was fortunate to get him on there. I mean, I basically just connected with him on Facebook, and he was so kind to agree to play on the track. He's actually played on the whole of the project that I recorded. I think there's six songs that he managed to get done. He's a great player. He's got this beautiful expression on his instrument.
I met Dwight Seals for the first time, Mike, when we were at Berks in, was that 2009?
Yeah.
I believe we went to the Berks Jazz Fest, and he was there, and I met him for the first time there. Yeah. Cool guy.
Who is he playing with?
Cool cat.
He's nice. I mean, I've never actually met him. You know, everything, all our communication has been through email, you know. But I just basically sent him the tracks. I didn't send him any charts. I just said, you know, I love what you do. I'll send you the music, and you just, you know, interpret it however you see fit. And he's done some beautiful work, and hopefully it won't be too long before I can share it with everybody, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, I have to ask you, because, you know, today with the use of technology, of course it's really helped you a whole lot, but as far as reaching out to people, Are these guys people that were on your radar to reach out to, or you just say, hey, let me just see what I can get from these guys and let me reach out to these guys first and see if they respond back to me? What was your process in that?
Like I said, I've always loved Dwight, and he was kind of the first person I called, because I was, you know, programming most of the stuff myself. I only really call vocalists and guitarists, you know, if I'm, you know, recording an album or a project that's on a low budget. He was kind of the first guy who came to mind, really, you know. Although I admire Paul Jackson Jr. and whoever else. There's so many other players. But, I think Dwight is, like I said, he's by far my favourite. There's a lady by the name of Gianna.
Gianna Welling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She did vocals on two tracks. And ironically, coincidentally, they're very good friends, her and Dwight, because they both come from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dwight's moved back to LA now, but Gianna's she's been out here a few times, and I managed to get her in the studio over here with a guy called James McMillan, who worked on Kirk Whalum's Round Trip album. He recorded a lot of that here Kirk over in Hastings. So, yeah, I mean, there's a few connections in there along the way. But in terms of process, it's kind of like, you know, I just thought Dwight Sills as soon as I started recording, you know.
Oh, I would have loved to have heard the songs that Gianna sings on. She has such a beautiful voice. We've had her on the show.
Very natural. Yeah. I mean, it's effortless. I mean, watching her in the studio, you know, and she's very thorough, you know. And, she's a great person as well. We hung out for, like, you know, the day. You know, so, yeah,
will she be re-recording for the CD?
I think we managed to save the parts in Pro Tools, actually, at James's studio. So, those songs will still make the final project. So we haven't lost them. I mean, we're yet to discover that. But if there is an issue, we'll just get her back over. I'm sure she's going to be back over in the UK at some point. So yeah.
Oh man, I would have loved to have heard that. All right. We are talking to saxophonist Carl Stanley in the UK. If you would like to call in and speak with Carl, the number is 646-716-5485. And I have a question for you from the chat room.
Okay.
Cheryl would like to know, what was it about Najee's playing that caught your ear at age 14 that spiked your interest in the sax, and have you ever met and or played with him?
I've never met or played with him, no. I think music is a very, it's hard to put your finger on anything that music does in terms of your emotion and how you react to it. I think you just know when you like something as soon as you hear it, and music has that sort of the ability to go straight in and pull at your heartstrings. I think I heard the song, like I said, the song I heard was Bet You Don't Know, and I'd never heard anything like that, you know, up until that point, even though I'd been listening to a lot of music, and my uncles had, I was brought up with my grandparents, so I lived with my younger uncles. And they used to play a lot of things like Lonnie Liston Smith and Bob James, you know. But I'd never heard anything quite like that, which sort of, I suppose it was a crossover thing as well, you know, a little bit of R&B. And so it was kind of I related to it more in terms of what I was used to hearing up to that point, if you understand what I mean.
Okay. All right, another question from the chat room. KC would like to know, what kind of horn and setup are you using?
Hello, Casey. I assume that's a saxophone player.
Hello.
I use Yanagisawa horns. The soprano, I'll start with the tenor, actually. Tenor, Yanagisawa, it's a T901 in black with a silver crook, a sterling silver crook. Similar setup to what Kurt Whalum uses, but he uses Kyleworth instruments, I mean, in terms of look. Dave Gardala Brecker mouthpiece, which is one of the original ones from like 15 or 20 years ago, which you can't get older now. You know, they go for thousands of dollars on eBay. And currently, I swap between Winslow ligatures on the tenor and, I can't remember the names of the other ones, but alto is another Yanagisawa A991B. I'm trying to be quick here because, you know, A991B with a Beechler 7. Which is quite common for the genre of music. And the soprano is a curved soprano, Yanagisawa, with a Dukoff 8-star mouthpiece. That's about it, really.
Okay. And you said KC is part of your band?
Say that again, sorry?
You said KC is in your band?
No, I said that. It sounds like a saxophone player's question, you know?
Most saxophone players
always ask you what gear you use, so I'm assuming he's a saxophone player, but he's not part. He's not part of my band now.
Oh, okay. You know, so normally we have three or four songs to play when we interview an artist, and I'm so sorry that we do not have more of your music to play for the listeners. So,
no. Well, I mean, you know, it's coming. It's coming.
Well, that was going to be my next comment. When the CD is released, would you come back on so that we can play more music and hear it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. So, like I said, I mean, the second single, I've not, obviously, I'm, you know, just waiting to see what we do with this one. But hopefully I'm going to release the second single between now and the time the album is finished, just to sort of keep interest. But, yeah, it's a shame there's no more music, but, you know, like I said, I like to have things finished before. I don't like sending demos and things. I know people do it, but it's kind of like, you know, not something that I'd like to expose until it's ready, you know.
I understand that. All right, well, Mike, do you have any more questions?
No, that's it for me. That was it.
Okay. All right, Carl. Well, again, thank you for giving us, you know, spending some time with us. And again, I apologize about the time mix-up.
No problem.
All right, and we look forward to the new CD. Now, will it be called "You Make Me La La"?
No, I'm not. I don't have a title for it yet, but I'll keep you informed.
Okay.
Okay.
Please do. Yes, I definitely want to hear Gianna on it.
I mean, the songs that she's sang on are beautiful, you know. When they're mixed and stuff, they're going to sound really great, yeah. So something to look forward to, I hope.
Yes, definitely. I have a phone call here. Let me make sure this call is not for you. Area code 609, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Well, thank you. The call is for him. I just want to know, being that he's promoting his new single, my name is Dr. D. I'm out of New Jersey. I would like to know if, being that at this present time, are you finding this the best way to, you finding internet to be a great solution into promoting your CD?
Well, at the minute, it's just a single. I mean, to be fair, because of the way, I mean, being in the UK, it's more difficult to try and promote this sort of music. Because of the lack of venues. There's only a few venues. In fact, there's only one that I can really mention that does anything for this genre of music. So it's kind of an experimental process, or as well as sort of trying to, you know, let people know what I'm doing, you know, musically.
Well, I understand that. I'm just wondering if you're finding that the internet is a viable source of getting your music out there and letting the people across the country know that you are an artist, and this type of music is a genre that wants to be played, can be heard anywhere, that, you know, the reins are being, you know, done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good way to get it across, especially from being on this side of the water. You know, there's quite a few outlets through the internet to make people aware of what you're doing in terms of, you know, promotion. Also, obviously, you know, you've got iTunes, you've got CD Baby. There's always new listeners to the genre. I'm on Amazon also. So, yeah, in terms of sales, I don't know what I've done until, you know, we get the statements through. But we're yet to see, you know.
And how many albums have you produced, Max?
This is, like I said, this is my first single. So, you know, I'm on my first single. Obviously, the album is to follow, which is self-produced. I've worked with Ollie Silk on his last album. I've done a few projects from the UK sort of dance scene, if you like. You can find them, one of them, on iTunes. But as far as the other ones, I'm not quite sure where to find that, because, you know, once I do the session, I sort of move on. If I'm not directly linked to the actual production, I was just a featured session, if you like. If that makes
sense.
Well,
I was asking because, you know, it has a great detail, and most people have the opportunity of being in the music business. They either have some kind of genre, and they know how long, you know, they've been in at a determination factor, how long they've been there, and what direction that they want to go and what they want to do. That's why I was asking.
Yeah. But in terms of, I mean, you know, I'm basically sort of, like I said, it's kind of, this release is as well as letting people know what I'm about musically, it's kind of an experimental thing also, you know. The way the album's panned out wasn't sort of how I'd planned it, because of the events and whatever else came into play along the way. So I'm just basically going with what I have available, you know, resources I have available to me at the moment, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
Are you
all right. So, thank you, Dr.
Thank
D.
you for the call.
Dr. D, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Thanks for allowing me to speak. It's been
You're
nice to listen.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
I thought that made a little bit of sense.
Okay, Carl. So, again, we look forward to that new CD
sometime
this year. Okay, definitely. And I will replay the song before we end the show. I'll play the song again so those that are just tuning in can hear it as well.
Right. All right. And Michael?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you
for coming on, Carl. Yes, thank you. And the music is lovely. I can't wait to hear the other one when you come out with the CD and everything. So we want to definitely have you back. So as soon as you know the release date, let us know. We'll definitely have you back soon.
No problem. We'll connect.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, that was saxophonist Carl Stanley. His new single is called You Make Me La La, and I will play that again before the end of the show. But right now, Barb Susan is holding. Hey, Barb, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Terry?
Doing well. So for those of you that don't know, last week we received 15 tickets to the Brian Culberson David Benoit concert that was held on March 23rd in L.A., and I gave away those tickets, and Barb was one of the recipients of the tickets. So I asked her to call in to tell us about the concert. So what did you think?
Yes, I was. Thank you so much. It was an amazing concert. It was a very nice hall that I have never been to. And the lady Yana, I think her name is, she was the first to perform. Oh, she was amazing. And then they had Robert, who was a violinist, and Paul, who is he played the violo. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that. And Antonio played the cello. It was just an amazing, and the acoustics in the building were wonderful. And then after they had played for a little bit, a few songs and stuff, David and Brian came out to the stage, and it was just, you could just feel the crowd was just so excited that they were going to be playing together with these beautiful pianos, and they came out and they played, and they goofed around at times, which was fun. And as well as, you know, Brian very well, he's one that doesn't sit very still, just always tapping, and he was just ready to get up and go. And the music was amazing, and they were just so good together. And then Mindy came out with her saxophone, and it was just phenomenal. And the crowd was, we didn't scream the whole time like most concerts. You're always up on your feet and screaming. It was just a very subdued crowd, and we just got to listen and hear the beautiful sound of those new pianos that are coming out and the songs. So I had a really good time, you know, and I know everybody else around me was having a really good time. So.
Wow. I wish I could have been there.
Now, did the fact that there was no band, but there were just the two panels, did that make the music, how did that come out? I mean, because normally when David and Brian's playing, there's either a full band or a full orchestra or something like that. But this series that they're doing is just two pianos with Brian and David.
You know, it was absolutely phenomenal that you didn't have to have the guitars and the drum sets and the background and stuff. It just came out very nicely. And I've heard these songs with full bands and now without full bands. And it is just amazing, the sound. And I think part of that is possibly those new pianos that are just coming out, the V piano. But they also had David, who was on the big bass. And he was great also. And you really didn't need the rest of the instruments to enjoy the show. I mean, I love all instruments, but this show was phenomenal. When they play at other places, I really think that people should really go and see them. It's a really great show.
Now, did you have decent seating?
It was wherever you wanted to sit, first come,
okay.
first serve. So, of course, I got there early. And I sat seventh row up because of the way their seats were. And I was directly in front of the whole stage on the up seven seats, which was a great place. There was nobody blocking me because the seats were arranged in that facility. They're amazing. And you got to just see the whole show other than when everybody stood up to clap. But, you know,
okay.
everybody stood up. But, yeah, they were great. The great seats is a great venue.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm glad you had a great time.
Yeah, I did. I did. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. So Tamara was there. I don't know if you know Tamara Collins, but she was there. And
yeah.
Kimberly Maxey, you know, just a bunch of other people. Henry Mendoza was there. I heard from him. He emailed me and said he had a great time. Tamara emailed me and said she had a great time. So I'm glad that we were able to get those tickets, because I was surprised when I got the email about the tickets. So I'm glad that we were able to get them and give those out. So I'm glad you had a great time. Good. Good.
I did. Thank you so much. Yeah, Tamron, I think, sat in the first row. I think she was with five or six other people also that were either purchased or were given tickets also. I'm not too sure, but they all had a good time. They had pictures up on the net on Facebook of them with Brian and stuff. I just took pictures, you know, as the event went on. But,
yes, I saw your pictures. Yes. Yeah, I saw your pictures. Yeah. So now I want you to give a plug, a shameless plug for your business. Tell everyone what you do.
Oh, I'm a freelance photographer, and I go to concerts and I take pictures and I post them off of the net. I've done the drag races, NASCAR, rodeos, weddings, people's portraits, sceneries. Just love doing the photography thing. So I pick by Barb. Or I'm on Facebook, Barb Susan.
Okay, and that was pickbybarb.com is her website. So you can go by there and check out all of her beautiful work. She does weddings, and she also does sports photography. So check that out. All that is on her website, pickbybarb. All right. Well, Barb, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about the concert.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and thank you once again for the wonderful tickets. It was an amazing show.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're welcome. You have a great day.
And you do the same. Thank you, Terry.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I so wish I could have went to that concert. Man, it doesn't look like he's coming to Vegas. I checked the schedule, of course, and it doesn't look like they're coming to Las Vegas, so I may have to miss this one, but I'm glad that they were able to go and that they had a good time. So that's a good thing. Good thing. All right. Mike, do you have anything else to add?
Nothing else, Terry. I do, actually. This upcoming Monday, we will be having Boney James coming on to the show to talk about his brand new CD that will be out. I think it's out. Is it out already, Terry?
It comes out on the 29th, and it's called Contact. It'll be out on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to be. That's a hot city, too. He has two singles that are out right now, one with LaToya Luckett and the other one, which is Contact. I mean, and it's just a great city. So, like I said, I can't wait to talk to Boney on Monday. And so you guys can tune back in. That'll be 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's going to be a hot interview.
Yes, and you can also pre-order this CD now on Amazon, and you can download If I Had Another Chance, the song by with LaToya Luckett. You can download that right now from iTunes for 99 cents. That is such a nice song. It's a nice song. So,
Boney James, will we be having free CDs?
Not sure
yet. We don't know yet. We're not sure.
Yet.
Okay.
Yeah,
so y'all got to tune back in and make sure that, you know, we're not giving out free CDs that night. You know, so you guys have to tune back in. So we may be giving out free CDs that night. So we don't quite
working
know
on it.
Yet.
Yes. We're working on it. Working on that. That would be cool.
Yes. Very cool.
And, of
Very
course,
cool.
Miss Carol Boney Fan will be our fan co-host Monday night. So she will be on with us. listening for this listening party that we're going to have with the CD, and I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of this song. I love Boney. He is my favorite saxophonist. I absolutely love him. I think he is like contemporary jazz's master on the saxophone, and that's just my opinion, but I absolutely love him. So whenever a new CD comes out with Boney, I buy it. You know, he's one of those artists when it was like with Luther. Whenever Luther put out a CD, I bought it because it was Luther. I didn't care if it was good or bad. I bought the CD. Same with Brian, same with Boney, and same with some of these other artists that we've been interviewing, these new and up-and-coming artists. You buy it because of who they are. You buy it because of their music. You know, so you have to continue. We have to continue to support the artists. We have to. It's important. It's so important.
Definitely.
So important. All right. Tomorrow we are talking to a keyboardist named Stefan Earle. His new debut CD is called Origins. So we will be talking to him tomorrow about that. I am going to replay Carl Stanley's songs, You Make Me La La, for those of you that may have missed it in the beginning of the show. I will replay that, and we'll be looking forward to hearing that new CD when it comes out. All right. Well, Mike, if you have nothing else, I'm going to go ahead and close and play this song. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow. Until then, keep it smooth.